Hello, this is Pastor Deborah of the Hidden Kingdoms channel on YouTube and of the website www.agapeloveishere.org. And I'm coming to you with another wonderful, wonderful spiritual teaching here on Blog Talk Radio for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NASCA. Tonight, I'm going to continue talking about the curses of abuse. The last couple of sessions, I have been talking on the same topic. And tonight, I'm going to talk about two specific ones. One called the curse of heaviness, which has a lot of fruit on its tree. And the curse of having perverseness. It, too, has lots of wicked and perverse fruits. And I'm going to go through it, but this video is going to show you even among curses that have come to you through child abuse, through words, actions, deeds, rejections, not having your anchor of love anchored in agape love, there is hope, and there can be healing and deliverance for you. So you are welcome to listen to this Blog Talk Radio show of NASCA here on May 30th, 2024. It's a Thursday evening here in Pensacola, Florida. I don't know where you are. And this is scan number 3439. You can find it on the NASCA website anytime you want to. I will also have this as a video and put out to my podcast shows for you to listen to. So you be encouraged. No matter what happened to you as a child, even as a young teenager, a young adult, curses come into our life, many different kinds. And I'm here to tell you, there is hope. There's healing for you. And we're just going to discuss these two tonight here on the NASCA Blog Talk Radio Show. So you listen and be encouraged. Love, Pastor Deborah.
Radio. I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you have done.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now scan, also known as Blog Talk Radio. And NASCA stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And we have our very special, beautiful host this evening, Pastor Deborah. So she'll be on in a little while. And we are on scan number 3439 this evening. And we just have a single purpose here at NASCA, and that is to address issues that are related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with two goals: by educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, also known as CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone, and two, by offering hope and healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And again, we are on scan number 3439. We would love to have you join us this evening. Pastor Deborah always has wonderful topics, and if you'd like to be a part of our panel, please call 646-595-2118, and I will meet you on the back line and bring you in and see if you have a question or whatever. So we have basically an open mic tonight. We feature the Survivor Professional, which is Pastor Deborah, who will field the topics, you know, brought into the episode by you if you have a topic to come in. If not, she's got topics, and she's just really good at bringing all that in. So Pastor Deborah is now a Survivor Professional living in Pensacola, Florida. She's trained in ministry, mental health, working with substance abuse, and is a trauma-informed social worker. All in one. She volunteers with many community organizations. Pastor Deborah says she can minister by text, phone, Skype, in person, and however the Lord directs her, 24/7. She teaches that humans have three parts, being of spirit, soul, and the physical body, and believes that all three are important and that each area needs care. We look forward to Pastor Deborah and Survivor Professionals who will assist, you know, calling in by helping with questions and topics. And we love to get everybody's trauma-informed perspective, you know, as survivors and survivor professionals. So go ahead and call in. We'd love to have you. 646-595-2118. And anyone is welcome to join us. So I am going to just go ahead and bring Pastor Deborah on now so that she can get started. Welcome, Pastor Deborah. Always happy to have you.
Thank you. And, summer's here, isn't it? Yeah, I've been real busy lately. I was just telling Kim that I had just gotten over diverticulitis. And I lost my laptop for about a month. I had to redo that. And I'm just now getting back to recording. But I'm here to always support NASCA and Kim and Bill and all the others. And I'm a teacher, so I always have topics. And we've been working for about the last three times about the curses that happen to us when we get abused as children. And last time we talked about one called, I can't remember, there were four of them, loss of innocence and then soul ties that happen. And this one, I got a copy about another curse. I didn't learn this in mental health counseling. I don't learn it. You get bits and pieces of it, but it's not called a curse. And what a curse is, it's something that's spoken over you, spoken by ancestors, things that happen that bring, we'll call it evil, wicked, unloving, fearful situations and people into your life. I just did a work with a precious young man over in Dubai, and he felt like he had bad luck his whole life and his family. And he was just so depressed. You know, he's of the Islamic religion. So I knew how to pray for him and how to break the bad luck off, because he really believed in his life. What happens, Kim, is the computer program seems to mute me at certain times. I don't know why. And I have to just hang up the phone, and I have to call you back. Then you see that I'm back in. So if that happens again, and just say, I can't hear you, I hang up my phone, call you right back. I don't know why it does that. But that's what happened.
I had to make sure it wasn't my phone, so I called in on another phone.
No, I don't know if it's my phone.
I
think it's more the program, but, you know, I could tell you some other things, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
So what I learned is from this, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
What I learned from this precious young guy in the crisis stabilization unit, that he felt he was under spiritual attack. And I said, what do you mean? He said, my parents were into voodoo, which in a lot of the black culture, they are. And he said, I don't want to worship that or be in it in any way, but they want me to be. So I feel like they are attacking me through voodoo. Now, and he was under spiritual attack. And, of course, now what would you do if you were a psychiatrist, a mental health counselor, a peer-to-peer, if somebody said that to you? Now, in mental health counseling, you get no teaching about that if somebody comes to you in that manner. Believe it or not, most of the blacks do not go to mental health counseling. The men go to their barbers. The women go to the beauticians. They don't go to mental health counseling because they all come from a different culture, different stuff like you deal. What would you do with that as a peer-to-peer support person to help this person who's having weird and feels like he's under attack? So I had to learn to combine mental health and spirituality. So when I got into the spiritual care, working with a human being, children, oh, I did a lot with children, young teens, adults, pastors, evangelists, pastors' wives, pastors' kids, people that weren't supposed to have issues, they were showing up. And what helped me was to study curses. And what I learned was words that are spoken to us in child abuse from the perpetrator or family that don't listen or even our own self speaking to us can bring curses into our lives. We can also have curses spoken over us in the womb, in childhood, and we don't know it, by doctors, professionals, cousins, aunts. Maybe ancient ancestors said something about it. Maybe our name that we are given brings a curse to us. This one young lady, she had a child and she named him Adrian. Sounds like a beautiful name, doesn't it? Are you there, Miss Kim?
Yes, I am. I'm just on mute so I don't make noise.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the name Adrian sounds beautiful, but it actually means dark lord. So anytime you were calling your child Adrian, you were calling him a dark lord. Now, if that doesn't bring some issues into your life and attract some things, people don't understand what even the meaning of their names mean. So I had a lot of studying to do to help people from a spiritual care view, combining mental health counseling and peer-to-peer and, you know, support groups. And because I had to study so much, I had to learn from true stories, movies, books. God would open all kinds of movies, children's stories, books, songs to me to teach me. I never have to ask anybody what their issues are, because I knew anybody that came into my presence, connected to me in any way, had some issues from childhood. Is there anybody on the line, Kim, that needs to make a comment or speak or come in?
No, okay. We don't have anyone on right now.
All right. I know sometimes Philip comes, but a lot of times he's doing stuff. So what I wanted to bring up tonight was a couple more curses that happen from childhood abuse. And it can come through the perpetrator. It can come through cousins. Mother that maybe looks the other way, and it can come through ancestors that travel through the perpetrator, that travel through the mother, but you don't know it. And the first one is called the curse of heaviness. And I'm going to give you some different things that you might see, that you might recognize, so that you might think, I've got a curse in operation in my life. One of them, you might have excessive mourning. Just always in sadness. Like something has died. and you're just alone, like, you know, somebody has died. You could have insomnia. A lot of children, after the event, if it happened at night or at a certain time of the day, and there were certain maybe music or lights or time, they can't sleep at night. Another one is rejection. Comes from the curse of heaviness. Because you feel so heavy, mournful, sad, depressed. Who would love me? Who would want me in that shape? Another one that we all end up doing is called self-pity. Poor woe is me because this happened, and that, therefore my life is over with, nothing good will happen. I mean, we have these internal thoughts, and we are afraid if our parents or somebody finds out about our abuse, you know, we'll get in trouble. Another one of this curse of heaviness is sorrow and grief. You're always feeling sorry for yourself, grieving for something you've lost, something that was stolen and taken. And I want to show you how that can happen even without sexual abuse. I was at a church Saturday morning outing. We were going to feed the neighborhood. There was a young girl there. She had a little cup or bowl of grapes. And her and I were talking. She was about 9 years old. The pastor walked up without asking her, reached his hand into her little bowl or cup, and took some grapes. She looked at me with eyes of, he just raped me. He stole from me. He took something of mine without asking. And I had to pray with her to break all that heaviness, that sorrow, that rejection. And this was from a pastor. He sort of laughed when he left. And I saw that, that even by our behaviors as adults, to a 9-year-old child, we can, that's what you would call rape, stealing something that is not yours, taking something that is held tightly in the girl's hand without asking. And that is what rape is. And I saw the devastation that was done to her by this pastor, this male pastor. So you have to look, and you'll see it, children being, we'll call it emotionally abused, just there in a church, in a meeting, in school. Somebody takes your pencil without asking. Somebody, you know, you go to the bathroom and the girls mock you. And it continues. So people can think, what's wrong with me? I'm a cursed individual. Now, in mental health counseling, this curses are not taught. Okay? We're not taught how to break them. We don't know what causes them. Another one is a broken heart. What that means is the heart, your mind, of your soul and your spirit is supposed to be anchored. Still hear me out there, Miss?
Yes. Okay. We can still hear you.
Okay. The soul and the spirit's heart, mind are supposed to be anchored in agape love to the mother. If that anchor was never set or it was dislodged or, you know, cut, the child's feelings, emotions, their self-worth, it's lost. They're floating in a sea of storms. Their heart is broken. They have been abused. Their mind is broken. They don't understand what's happening. They had their innocence is stolen. So they have a broken heart, which can mean a broken mind as well. Another one of the curses of heaviness, we learned, was called despair and dejection. Despair means, oh, poor woe is me. I can't do anything right. I can't make any decisions. Nobody, you're just always in despair. There's no happiness. There's no joy. And dejection means that you just look at yourself and say, nobody loves me. Another one is depression. Now, biologically, in mental health counseling, we know what that is. There's a chemical imbalance in your brain that through a memory or a trigger gets released and you feel depressed. You have actual body reactions to the chemicals. You might have an upset stomach. You have no energy. You feel hopeless. You want to sleep. So the doctors know to give you some anti-depression medication that will help balance those chemicals out. They may have to look at your appetite, like say cut back on the sugar and the alcohol, because what those two are stimulants, and when you come off of them, you get depressed. You know, your body crashes. So depression is both a biological, it's a mental in the biological brain, it's feelings, means I have no happiness, I feel sunk down, you know, on my knees, there's no joy in my life, there's nothing to be happy about. A lot of this goes on the inside of us with our own thoughts and feelings. And we don't talk to people about how we were thinking and feeling as children. A lot of it's happening to us, like in depression, but we don't know that that's what it is. Another one was heaviness, which means I have no energy. I have no desires to do anything. Best way I can explain it is after I had my, when I was having my diverticulitis, there wasn't any energy. I was having stomach pains, threw up, flashes of fever, cold sweats. I couldn't think of anything else but get through the day or the night. Then when I got the antibiotic and it started working and healing, you know, the infection, there was no energy to do anything, no desire. I felt heavy, lifeless, no energy, no desires to do anything. And even if I had a little one, I didn't have the energy to do it. So our feelings affect our biological body. And our spirit, it goes through the same thing. And our spirit is supposed to be light and joyful, in connection with a higher power. It's supposed to be light, but it can fall into all of this as well. The next one was hopelessness. A lot of children feel there's, why even hope for something? Nothing's going to change. So they don't have any hope for a future, or the future that they maybe thought was, it's now destroyed. Good. So they walk around like that guy in Dubai. He's a chemical engineer. Precious young man. Got a family. Had me pray for his children and his wife, all on Skype. But he felt hopeless because he felt like he had a curse of bad luck had been in his life and in his family and in his jobs. And he didn't know what to do. Because, you know, and so sometimes I'll get a request from somebody on LinkedIn says, can you help me? I feel like I have this, just a lot of negativity or negative things around me and I can't get rid of them. And I would say, no problem. Type out a prayer. And I'd say, and he'd go, thank you. It's gone. They can't describe how they're feeling. They can't, they're afraid to speak. And, you know, a lot of people are very silent. And they deal with their feelings and their thoughts and everything. Another one is called suicidal thoughts. Most people who have had child abuse have them. What's the use in living? I'm damaged goods. I'll never be free. How do I get out of this? There's no use even trying. And every day, maybe every night. They have insomnia. They have nightmares. I work with a lot of people who have nightmares from their childhood. They need the comfort of a sweet voice. They need to be with somebody. Now, I do all this, you know, out in the realm of the spirit. But that is what's happening. And if you go to a mental health counselor, they're not going to hold you in your lap and let you lay on their lap and comfort you and kind of wipe and brush your hair. That ain't going to happen, because that's a no-no. You're not allowed to touch the clients because of professional ethics. But a lot of suicidal thoughts, death wishes, maybe even attempts to kill yourself, maybe to overdose with alcohol or drugs, or maybe overdose, try to kill yourself even doing sex, or, you know, stealing or running away from home. So, lots going on. Then the last one is called inner hurts and a torn spirit. There's inner wounds in your mind, in your soul. And sometimes, as you know, they do come out in our biological body. If you end up with an ulcer in your stomach, there's a nerve that runs through it. If you've been under a lot of stress, you can't handle it, you don't eat right, you can get ulcers. A lot of people get high blood pressure because of their diet. There's a lot of inner hurts, and if you well, watch a lot of people, they try to solve the problem by eating. The mouth, which was made for the breast of a mother to drink in the milk, doesn't get that. We take the pacifiers away. I used to suck my thumb for years, and I had to have braces because of it. And, you know, they will put Tabasco sauce on her thumb. They'll take our little pacifiers away, our little blankets, you know, when we're children. And what we're trying to do is comfort our inner hurts and comfort ourselves that they should have been getting from their mother at the breast, and just falling into a deep sleep and feeling safe. So another one of the curses of heaviness is inner hurts and a torn and broken, wounded spirit. And if you want to comment, Kim, you go right ahead, and I'll let you talk for a little while.
No, thank you. I'm just fascinated every single time you talk. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew I was still here, and I still hear you.
Okay.
So I will continue to listen, because I do appreciate it, and I think I've known people, you know, so I've known people that I can always relate things too, and I appreciate your wisdom.
This was all new to me when I was still in mental health counseling, because none of this was talked about when you were taking classes to learn about people. Because in mental health counseling, psychology, psychiatry, they believed you had a mental, biological disease. And it was, if you didn't have a brain tumor or a concussion, you know, on your head and blood or stuff, then they knew they had to correct and balance out your brain chemicals. Now, I understood that because I worked in a rehabilitation hospital with brain injury patients. I worked with stroke patients. I did neuropsychological testing. I was with the doctors, with the nurses, the occupational therapists, the speech therapists. I did groups with the people. I saw how when you had a stroke in your brain. So I had some experiences most mental health counselors never had. And I worked with disabled people, even back when I was in college, who'd been in a car wreck or something, or had had a fever or something. And so I learned a lot about the biological brain and body. They're working together. So when a child has sexual abuse, the body is violated. Chemicals go off. Thoughts are happening. Words are going on. and the child doesn't understand, but even if the father or whoever, and they say, this is our little secret, that's a word curse, and don't tell anybody, because you'll get in trouble. You're the one that's doing bad. Okay, so the blame gets put on the child, and the child has to carry this on the inside. And they have the, you know, insomnia and nightmares, and they're broken and wounded in their thoughts. Chemicals have been turned on that shouldn't have been turned on. They're dealing with feelings and nerves, and it's just a mess. And what happens is, when I started to go into the ministry, I had to learn a whole new set of things of what was causing people there that I didn't know. And curses was one of those things. Curses come through containers of words or actions, and they're released into our life. And then they start doing their thing, sort of. They're like the fruit of, since we're talking about the curse of heaviness, all these different areas I was talking about, mourning, insomnia, sorrow, grief, suicide, depression, heaviness, those would be considered in spiritual care fruits of the curse of heaviness. The strong man, the big guy, was heaviness. And within him, he had all these other things. And once he got in there, through words or actions or whatever, he released all of these different things into our lives. And so I had to learn, you know, I had to use terms, I had to understand, I had to be able to look into somebody's eyes at Walmart and see them pleading with me for help. And them never saying a word. I had to look at children's eyes who I would meet. That little girl at that church, and that pastor took her right, she said nothing. But I could see her, she'd been offended, abused. Something of hers was stolen. And I saw it in her eyes. It's like I could almost hear her crying, even though she didn't cry. And I knew what to do, because an act had affected her on the inside. So that's sort of this curse of heaviness. And I want to go to another one that we dealt with. We never dealt with this one in mental health. It's called the curse of having a perverse spirit or mind. And this comes from how I explained to Philip last week, through the soul tie from the abuser, through words, through the actions. Because what's in the abuser, when he does the abusing, it freely is released into the child. Okay? We would call those generational curses. You act just like your uncle, your father. You talk just like them, you know. You look like them, you know. Your hair looks like it. You look like grandma. Something like that. And under the perverse spirit, can you still hear me? Am I still all right?
Yeah, you're still doing well. Yeah.
Okay. Under the perverse curse, we get a broken spirit again. When a father, brother, an older male, sexually or physically abuses a child, that's not a normal act. It's a form of perversion. It's not protecting. So when that occurs, this is what I had to learn. This wasn't taught in mental health. It's things, the actual act, emotionally and physically, brings in things. One, under the curse of perversion, is a broken spirit. What does that mean?
It can't work like it's supposed to. Falls down, sort of, and goes to sleep. It's hurt. It's wounded. And another spirit of it is an atheist. I ain't going to believe in God. I ain't going to believe in any good thing. Because look, these people that I'm supposed to love, look what they've done to me. I don't believe in anything except torture and abuse. Okay, that's sort of atheist. There's nothing good in my life. There's no God. Where was he? You know, doesn't matter what religion you are, you know. He wasn't there. He didn't stop it. Child abuse is a curse of a perverse curse. But you're not, that's not normal. It's perverted. Instead of taking care of the child, protecting it and loving it, we abuse it. You can abuse it through words, neglect, rejection, sexual. You can abuse it through blaming it, saying it's all your fault if you hadn't been born. You look just like so-and-so. And the child doesn't know anything. So there's many different kinds of child abuse. Starve a child to death. You can lock them up. You can speak to them. You can emotionally abuse them, emotionally handicap, kidnap them, traumatize them, beat them physically, all kinds of things. Another thing in the perverse, the curse of perversion, is a filthy mind. Many children end up having a filthy mind. They don't know what's clean or pure. They will end up abusing their own children, speaking negative things, abusing animals, stealing. Their mind becomes filled with all kinds of filthy, evil, wicked thoughts, imaginations, and a lot of them end up in human trafficking, prostitution, gangs, doing illegal things. There's a lot of sex perversions that come in with this. What they don't even know what normal sex is. How is it supposed to be? So it all gets perverted. Believe it or not, most of your homosexual men and your lesbian women have all had sexual abuse. Your transgenders have always had it. Now, they're not going to tell you that, but that's what happens early on. Another part of this one is called foolish. You actually have, you act kind of foolish, you know, silly and goofy sometimes. You try to just be funny, laughing about everything, never serious. Nobody wants to be around you because you're just funny. Silly, goofy, foolishness, and, you know, you're still trying to be a child and have fun. But you got to take care of life's issues and, you know, laughing at everything, and it's just a big joke, and it's a way of deflecting and putting up armor so you don't really have to talk about serious things because you don't want to. Another one is you're contentious. It means you're a fighter. You're always arguing with people. Nothing's ever right. You're always arguing. You're always fighting. You're rebelling. Nothing's ever right. Nothing. Nobody can do anything right. So that's a part of this curse. Chronic worrier. You're always worried about something. Getting sick or worried about this or worried about that. You're never at peace. Fearful something's going to happen. I did ministry with this young precious girl. She just got out of, this was during my training time. She got out of a psychiatric hospital for reasons. She showed up in church. End up in the usher's room, and every time the doorknob turned, she lost it because she was so fearful of what was coming because, you know, she'd been in the hospital. I've been in men's bathrooms with men who are so frightened something triggered them, and they can't come out of the stall. I've been with children who crawl under their teacher's desk. They're so afraid, you know, they think they see something. They ain't coming out. So I have had experiences with people, and even in the mental health settings, I was starting to see a lot of this. You see a lot more of it with jails, drug and alcohol things, you know. They're batting the air and are saying there's bugs around or something like that. And, you know, something, they're being watched. I had an aunt who believed the television was talking to her. She'd run outside naked. She had some issues. Mm. Another one is a lot of the people that get abused, they get into pornography. Okay. Now, pornography can be, I'm just looking at a magazine, and I'm taking care of my own pleasures and needs, watching it on TV, going to bars, all kinds of, now a lot of young girls are getting into dance groups, and there's a lot on Instagram and stuff like that, and people are trying to show their bodies off, and you get into pornography, and you are trying to satisfy needs, okay? And children are brought into it. I work with a precious young guy named Gavin. Oh, he's a grown man now. But his mother sold him to a satanic high priest. She wanted to go off and have a life, and he got into child pornography. He was used in making children's porn movies with dogs and other things, and he grew up in that, became a heroin addict. Real bad. And their whole life, you know, was just so perverted. And but he was, by talking to me and me doing some ministry with him, he was starting to want to be healed. Some of them are afraid of healing. Many people who have been abused as children, they don't know what it would be like if they were healed. Most of them have multiple personalities. They have lived with their system, their family. I have this one young, precious guy. He's over in somewhere in an Arab country. He was rejected by his mother and father, and some people suspect he was homosexual. But he had multiple personalities as a child. He even, because his parents, especially his mother, loved animals, he became a lion. He had a lion personality. He had a horse. Wow. He had a falcon. This is falcon. Wow. Okay? Because mama loved them.
Yeah.
And in some families, you know, you're just a number, and as soon as the next child comes, you move them on, get them out of the way. So this precious young man, in order to be loved, he created these animals of himself, thinking his mama would love him. And then he had a military part, and he had a young college part, and they're all in one body. And I have to minister to them. Sometimes he's a small infant, barely out of the womb. Sometimes he's like a five-year-old. And what he will do with me, he'll say, can I bring my animal people? Yeah, sure. Because he had to create them to try to find love, because he was rejected and abandoned as a child. Child abuse can be, mama keeps having babies, and as soon as the next one comes, I'm out, you know, go take care of yourself, you know, or take care of other kids, and I'm no longer at mama's breast, and mama's not taking care of me. Then another child comes, another child, and dad's working, he's never around, and you know, just. So another one is,
I have a question, well, first of all, I did want to tell you that Philip is on as well, so he's joined us this evening, and then I was also curious, what happens if you live with that and you're not really healed as you're in your, like, elderly ages, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Is that something that can ever be healed, you think?
Oh, no, no, no. Typically what happens in the mental health world,
they would probably put you in hypnosis. And they would take you back to the moment when the child abuse occurred. Most mental health counselors know that you disassociate. You will leave your body. They know that. It's not talked about too much. You will leave your body while your body's going through the abuse. Some people will say, if maybe I'm a fly on the wall, I'll be safe. It's your spirit that's leaving. And you create the person who's getting abused. Then when the abuse is over with, your spirit sort of floats back. But now there's division in there. But you're all one. And every time the abuse happens, you leave, you form at different ages. You're trying to survive. You're trying to protect yourself. You'll have some that have been abused, some that aren't. You'll have some boys, some girls, all different ages. Now, some psychologists in mental health counseling study this. One of the great movies to study, The Three Faces of Eve, true story. Now, she was not sexually abused as a small child, but she was traumatized. She had to go kiss her dead grandmother. It was custom to say goodbye to her, and she freaked out. She couldn't do it. The little girl, she was about three maybe or four. So at that moment, you could see it in the movie, she's screaming and yelling. Boom. She creates a part, and it turned out to be Jane Black who would do the kissing. The real her, who was a small child, disappeared off into somewhere. Hello?
Yeah, we can still hear you. Yeah, you're still
okay.
Here. I thought you went away for a second, but then you were back.
You know, I did. Okay. So then what happens is you learn how to live with your families of all ages. I used to bring them in my home. I had a young, precious girl. She was going to a Bible school. She had a queen part. She had a sex part. She had a drug part. Are you still there?
Yes. I'm
Hello?
Still here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm still here. Yeah. I just put you on mute so I don't make noises. That's all.
Okay.
But I'm listening and I'm right here.
So if you don't get healing through love, and everybody gets to taste agape love, not human love, the parts don't get healed. Now, how this one girl, she had in Satanism and witchcraft, they purposely form Manchurian candidates. They purposely have programmers that will program you with parts. This one young girl who had a bloodline of a queen, they wanted her to do whatever they wanted her to do in the meetings. So they created a family of children, a little boy and three little girls. They made her do this. And you can do this under drugs and alcohol and torture. And you get to the state where you will create whatever the programmer tells you to create. And then he'll program you to do whatever. And in this little girl, in this lady's case, she was in her late 20s working in a Target or something, seeing a psychologist. And that in mental health counseling, they say we're going to integrate all the parts. That's a very... Because we want everybody to feel the pain, everybody to know what happened, to experience and the whole abuse. We want everybody, we don't want any separation. We want one, everybody knows what's going on. That's their philosophy. And they call that healing. Well, I learned God doesn't do it that way. So what he did is we were sitting at my kitchen table. Her name was Andrea. And this little boy part of hers comes up. He'd stick his tongue out at me. And he always wanted to talk about baseball and playing and having fun. And I said, well, would you like to go off and play? Oh, I'd love to. How can I do that? I said, well, Jesus Christ will be glad to go with you and you guys can go play ball. I said, okay, okay. So I prayed a prayer. Now, this is spiritual work. And the little boy disappeared out of her life. And then two little girls showed up crying to me about
4 and 5, you killed my brother. You killed our brother. Where is he? He's gone. We can't get out. Oh, you're a murderer. I said, oh, no. And I prayed, and he came back. And I said, don't you all want to go? Now, these are all parts, disassociative parts of this girl. She's sitting at my table with another multiple personality and a Christian brother there. Okay? And these two little girls came up. I said, well, why don't the three of you guys just go and be at peace with Jesus? She believed in Jesus. She was a Bible. We can't go because we can't leave Carrie. I go, well, who's Carrie? Well, that's our little sister over there laying on that concrete slab. And I looked over there, and there was a little 2 or 3 year old child, this is in the spirit realm, laying on a slab. And what I learned was when they wanted to do things to this little, this adult woman, she wasn't going to escape them because Carrie was there and they weren't going to leave. So I prayed a prayer. I got kind of indignant. I said, my God, I said, God, your word says you came to heal the sick, make the blind see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. Carrie, get up. Oh, little girl, remember, this is all. She got up. I said, God, take them all and let them be happy. They all left out of her body, went somewhere. The next day, this girl gets up, Andrea, and says, you know, for the first time in my life, I feel free. I feel like I can run down the road to my heart's desire. See, that part of her to be free and to run and escape. She couldn't do it before because it is for children. But when I did the spiritual work and these parts that had been created disappeared, she was free. Well, sometimes you have to do some heavy-duty stuff. Now, in mental health counseling, they try to integrate and introduce each other to everybody and try to get everybody kind of put back in one, and so there's no separation. And some psychiatrists do an excellent job. I do not know if they use hypnosis, drugs, or whatever. But it is an acceptable mental disease. They know it happens. I'll give you an example. If we just, I think he just started. O.J. Simpson. Remember him? And they said he killed his wife and somebody else. And he said, I never did it. Charlie did it. Who do you think Charlie was? Herschel Walker, who was a major football player, when he retired, he discovered he had multiple personalities from childhood abuse, and he formed a personality to be on the football team, and when that was no longer, it happens in the military. You form a different personality than you were in civilian life when you go in the military. And when you come out, who's there to train you to be a civilian again? Some people have a hard time. It's all happening on our thoughts, in our spirit, inside of us. And a lot of mental health counseling, you know, they're trying to help you with your chemical imbalance. And your question, Kim, was if you don't get the healing and of all of these divisions and you get older, yes, you still have them. They may not come up as much because sometimes they're sleeping. Sometimes they'll get triggered. Sometimes they'll come up in nightmares. They'll come up when you see somebody else or you think about it happening to somebody else. You may not even know. You might have a NASCA personality. You might have, you might create a personality to get married, to be a mother. Now, I have different divisions of my labor. I'm a wife. I am a mother, a grandmother. I'm a minister, a pastor, a shepherd. But I'm all one. Okay? But I can, I am. And when I ran into this, God, I said, God, what is going on with these people?
because there was nothing in mental health counseling, no class, and dissociative identity personality, or multiple personal, there was nothing. Usually it's a few of your PhDs get it. Now they can test for it. I think it's called the Minnesota Multiple Personality Inventory. And then they put you on a scale of post-traumatic stress disorder between 0 and 10. 10 means you got the, now it's called dissociative identity disorder. But you can have all different levels of post-traumatic stress. They know it's a defense mechanism in mental health counseling. And mental health counseling said, well, now that you're an adult and you're not getting abused, you don't need that defense mechanism. And sometimes they'll treat you through imagery, through hypnosis. And what they do, they'll get you deep in your subconscious to try to help integrate, is what they like to use, and get everybody kind of aware of the situation. And some of your parts are asleep. Some are boys, some are girls, some are animals. I had to study more. And I had to understand what happened. I had this one lady named Candy I worked with. One night, we were on the phone, and she brought me a little baby. I was crying. I'm on the phone. She's not talking. And I recognized she was bringing a very early part of herself to me that was dirty and filthy, covered in blood. And she wanted me to heal it, so I spoke to it. I wiped the, you know, I'm just talking with my words. Cleanse the body, add some water, you know, use my, and she's hearing it at a deep level. And she's hearing words of healing, deliverance, cleansing, okay? And she would bring me that, those parts. And so if you get older and you've not had any of that, you still have them. And they're still there. Some of them, they go into trances, they go into sleeps. But then sometimes they come up and you don't even know it. And they want to explore the world and they have fun. And, you know, sometimes they giggle and they laugh and they just, they're just happy, and some of them are, like this one, Andrea, who I did with the Carrie, she'd get up and be somebody, she'd go into the bars, and she's going to go get a boy. And I'd have another part, and it's going after drugs. I had another part that would drive the car, and another part that worked at Target, I had another part that would lay around, hug a cow, and suck their thumb. And I had another part that was a painter and a musician. And some of your parts are left-handed, some are right-handed, some are babies, some of them have no clothes, some are boys, some are girls. I was shocked, because this was not talked about in mental health counseling. But I got thrown in the deep end, and I had to learn quickly. So I'll let you or Philip make a comment.
Yeah, thank you. No, I think that's all. And there's probably someone out there that needed to hear, you know, all of that. And I appreciate you sharing it and sharing everything that you do. I was also thinking even older than that, though, Pastor Deborah. I was thinking, like, okay, what if you're 70s and 80s and you never really got a whole lot of help?
Okay.
I mean, do they, you think there's hope?
Can they still get hope? Yes. Get healed? Yes. And typically, sometimes they want it, they're afraid of it, they've lived with this system inside of them for so long, okay? And then what happens upon their death? All of that disappears and they're just a baby, because they really got stuck in babyhood, okay, infancy, or wherever the trauma happened. That's where they're stuck. Okay? But our soul part of us, Sigmund Freud talks a lot about this, okay, our subconscious in our soul, in our biological brain, it is quite capable of living out there as a 70, 80-year-old person, but deep on the inside, if you, and they're not going to tell you. I had to learn to hear with ears and look in their eyes, and I just had to know. Every person that came to me, they got them. And it's a defense mechanism. Mental health knows it. It's how you stayed alive, or you would have died of heart attack and fear when the event occurred. And I asked God about this years ago, what is going on? Why do all these people have multiple personalities? He goes, because I am one. I gave you my gift. I am who I need to be at whatever time. I might need to be a judge, a father, a mother, a king, priest, a prophet, a teacher. I'll be whatever I need to be to get the job done. He said, I gave that gift to humanity. So they will the spirit will survive. He says, I leave my body. I come down to earth. The other part's me up there. Okay? Jesus' body's up there. But he's here in dreams. So I'm going, okay, if it's a gift from God. Now, this is the spiritual part. For to save us, and he knew it was going to happen. It just happens automatically. Nobody has to teach the spirit to leave the body. It's just gone. And it's a way of escape. And some people call it, you know, separating, disassociating from their feelings. They are. But they don't really know deep because what's happening. But they become other people. Sometimes they don't know that they're other people. Some parents will look at them like, you just act different at times, you know. Some of them change from they were a biological girl. And their survival skills, I better become a boy and talk and act like a boy so this won't happen. If it's a boy and it happens to them, they go, I might better become a girl. I'll be safer. Everybody is trying to save themselves. They can't stop it. You know, they're small. The people that do it are bigger and overpowering. They can't stop it. You can get drugged, you know, very easily, be in the wrong place at the wrong time, get raped, okay? And I had to learn that God was so good that he would protect us through our thoughts, our imagination, the disassociation, leaving our body when we can't get out of a horrible situation. Now, it traumatizes us, but we're still alive. He said, I can do healing with that. And one of the great, I read this story about this young girl, and she was like two or three sisters, but she was the only one her mother tortured for some reason. And she got older and stuff, and she got with many different psychiatrists. And, you know, she used her insurance, but then it would run out, and they'd say, we can't see you anymore. And she finally got to one psychiatrist, and the insurance ran out, and he said, that's okay. You're a human being that has issues. You keep coming to see me because I love you as a human being. And she started getting healed at home. And I said, God, what's going on? That psychiatrist didn't read the Bible to her, didn't pray with her. There was no casting out, no deliverance. He said, no, there wasn't. But he generally had agape love for that lady as a human being and would help her and not even charge her any insurance or any money. He said, I can work in that kind of atmosphere to heal that young girl. She wants to be healed. He's loving her as a human being. She's coming. He's talking. Not charging her. And God said, I will work in that kind of atmosphere between these two people. And I will get the glory because love is there. A love that is more powerful than regular human love. And I'll have the victory. And what was meant for evil, I'll turn it to good because he loves another human. So I had to learn about the power of love. Not human love, not sexual love, but this agape love from God. And so I'll be quiet again, let you guys ask any questions.
Okay, go ahead, Philip. You can. Did you have a question that you wanted to ask? I don't know if he's listening right now. Might have walked away.
Okay.
Are you there,
so,
Philip?
Yeah, yes.
No? Okay.
So if you have a 70- or 80-year-old person, they probably still have them. And we see a lot of 70- and 80-year-old people act weird. Okay. And we can't figure it out, you know. And they don't sleep well. And, you know, I had to learn that God gave us 120 years. It's in the Bible. So, when you die early, your body has not been treated correctly. You don't respect it. Your mental stuff is not balanced, and your spirit is not able to give it the strength of agape love to all of your parts. It's how God's pattern works. God sends down agape love, usually through a spiritual mother, maybe a pastor or a friend or like that psychiatrist, to the spirit. The spirit releases it to its helpmate, the soul, which is your thoughts and feelings, emotions in your biological brain. When that gets going good, and good chemicals are flowing, and you're not having all that agitation of all that bad stuff, that is released through the nerves to the biological body. And people don't realize the value when you do not have true agape love in your life. The anchor to your mama, knowing she's there no matter what. And that kind of love, not between a man and a woman. It's the mama who sets the anchor. It brings life to the bones. It brings rejuvenation. It can heal. Okay? And people don't understand the power of love and relationships. That's not taught either in mental health counseling. In some support groups, I was in a grief support group with ladies. We weren't even allowed by the social worker to get up when somebody started grieving and crying. We were not allowed to get up and hug them. We had to sit there, and everybody was isolated in their grief. That was by the rules of the social worker. Now, what do you think I'm thinking? Okay? In a lot of peer-to-peer, we end up triggering other people because we tell our story, and we need to tell our story, and we want to get this ick out of us, but we also hurting other people. We're not people bringing healing to other people because we're not even healed. And comfort, I've taught on this, is different than healing. So a lot of people do the peer-to-peer, but they never get the deep healing. They go to mental health counselors and they get medication, and it does start calming down the brain, the biological brain, the chemicals. Maybe they change their appetite. They start exercising, losing weight. You know, getting off the alcohol, the sugar, things like that. And things start straightening out. There's a chemical balance that needs to be in our brain. Bodies need to be healthy, eating the right things. And our spirit is the same way. It needs to be getting knowledge and light and having love. So do you have anything to say, Ms. Kim, so far?
I think that definitely answers my question, and I think, you know,
okay.
I do believe that everybody can get the the empathy that they need, if, you know, even if they're 70 or 80 years old. And,
yes,
you know, I believe that because of the healing, yeah.
Okay. Problem with getting empathy does not heal you.
That's
it. It just touches the soul that's broken. If there's division and multiple personalities, not everybody is getting the empathy. Empathy is like, I care for you, I feel sorry for you, I love you, but it's only at that surface level. The inside of that person. Okay. Women love to give empathy, but empathy does not bring deep healing of the spirit nor the soul. It's like, I can comfort you, put my arms around you when you're crying and upset, but that does not bring healing to you. It just comforts you. And so what happens is, I had to study. I never even, a lot of times I was in a hurry. People were going to die, or they were going to hurt somebody. I didn't have time to give empathy. I'm not an empathetic person, okay? Because when, it's sort of like how I explain what I do. I'm the emergency room doctor. You're coming to me in pain, crisis situation. You're crying. I have to stay calm. I can't take time to empathize with you, feel sorry for you. I got a job to do. Whether it's a broken leg, get this to you, get that. I don't have time to talk. I've got to get some medicine to you. You know, I have went to school for hours and years just to be waiting for you when bad things happen to come into the emergency room. Like if somebody came in, I used to work in the emergency room as a chaplain in a hospital, stayed overnight once a week. When a gunshot wound would come in or somebody trying to commit suicide, we don't have time to talk to you. You're out. You're gone. We're going to get the bullet out. We're going to get you puking. Okay? We got 6 or 8 people working on you. We're all trained, highly sophisticated to save your life. It's not the time to put our arms around you and stuff like that. I've been with patients who are dying, okay, and I got to talk about heaven. I have to be calm, not crying, not sorrowful that they're dying, because I know there's a better place. I also have to pray with people who are going and talk to parents about their parents who just died, and we need to have some tissue, we need to have some organs sent to, you know, organ transplants. I had to be, so my training is not empathetic, okay? Now, most mental health counselors aren't that empathetic either. They're cold, we're going to be in sacks, okay? They're not going to cry, they're not going to put their arms around you. But empathy and comfort, like in peers of spirit, will not heal you. It will not touch the disassociative part. It will not solve the insomnia, the fears, the marriage problems, the sex problem. It will not solve your biological problems, your disassociation. It won't do any of that. It'll be a temporary making you feel a little better. Then you go home and you're right back where you were. And the empathy that's given, it's all forgotten. Because nothing's changed. I had to learn that. And because I always was in a crisis situation with people. And sometimes I had seconds to do mental work before they died. Sometimes I had to help people stop. And I was like, I'm hearing God, I'm talking to them, I'm all on the phone. When there's been car crashes, I jump out of my car and go in, and I start praying for that person in the car. I had emergency room work. Crisis stabilization work. So my training as a mental health counselor and a chaplain have been so different than most people. I see lovely people crawling on the floor like snakes. I've had to go and take guns
pistols, machetes, and knives off of people in church and not be frightened. I've had to walk into homeless camps and not be frightened. I'm not a timid person. I'm a soldier. Okay? So I'm a little different. I went through peer-to-peer training, and I saw most of the people in there had issues. How would they help me with mine if they got their own? You can't do it. You have to get healed first. God set me at home for 2 years in my house. I said, why? You need healing. I go, from what? 40 years of it. I said, what am I going to do? No community work, no job. Oh, I'll cut the grass, I'll talk to squirrels, and then I remember the story about Martin Luther who got kidnapped by a king and was put in a coffin. And for 2 years, he translated the Latin Bible into the German language of the Common Prayer. I said, okay, if he can occupy himself with that for 2 years, taken away, I said, sorry. I can write my stories, I study. So for 2 years, I said, I didn't do anything. I would read the Bible, Psalms, and try to go to sleep. What was God healing me of? I don't know. He said, "Ick, what's that?" I don't know. But I obeyed it. Everybody's healing is different. Some people have to quit a job and they got to go on a round the world cruise. Some people have to change jobs. Some people have to get divorced. Some people have to move away from the city to go live on an island somewhere. God will deal with you, is what I learned in spiritual. Everybody's different. Mine took 2 years. I didn't even know what he was dealing with. Okay? I had no idea. Then the person that you are, that when you were abused and all this mess, you got to die. Because if you're a believer in Christ, who went to the cross, you died on the cross. You're not the person that got abused. You're not abused anymore. You're a brand new creature that never existed before. I had to learn that. I had to learn how to be a new person. I had to talk to someone. I had to go to the house they grew up in. Those people that treat me like that, they're not my parents. I'm a new creature. The old has passed away. Now, this is the biblical part. Mental health counseling, you don't get that. Peer to peer, you don't get that. I was just a little different than most people and most places. I'll be quiet now. I want to make a comment. It's about 8:19.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... Philip, can you hear Pastor Deborah? Is she starting to fade out a little bit? On your end?
On you. Can you hear
me? Kind of hard
me?
To hear a little. Yeah, I
can.
It's not as bad. It's not as bad as sometimes, but you
okay.
seem
sometimes
like you're in a tunnel.
Sometimes my phone gets away from me and it's far away, but I had to learn a lot, Kim. And I knew God wasn't going to waste the mental health counseling.
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
And at the same time, because a lot of mental health counseling provides a lot of good healing, information, medication, groups, support, getting out in community, opportunities. I have always believed mental health and spiritual care are equal partners. And we need to work together and respect each other. And because we're both trying to help people who've had some bad things happen to them. And whether it is peer-to-peer or a support group or individual counseling or group counseling or AA or NA, it's all good. It all helps. Being on medication, getting a healthy lifestyle helps. Being in happy relationships helps. Having a good
healthy body and diet helps, and doing the spiritual care work helps, okay? And it's all helpful. And there's nothing bad about any of it.
No. Yeah.
And people, I've found some people don't want to get healed. When I work with a lot of disabled people and we're on disability, you know, Social Security, and they would ask for prayer to be healed, I say, no problem. And when God heals you, you know you can't get your Social Security disability check anymore. You have to give it up, go to work 40 hours a week, raise your family, be appropriate spouse, take care of your house, your body, like everybody else. Are you willing to do that? And most of them would say, no, I want my Social Security disability money, but I want to be healed. But I don't want to go to work. So I always ask those people, do you want to be healed? Can you give up the benefits of being disabled? And some of them said yes, and some of them said no. So when I work with suicide patients, I would ask them, I only got one question for you. Do you want to live? And they all would say yes. I say, no problem, I'll take it from there. And I knew how to pray, I knew what to back down, I knew what curses to break. They didn't, but I had to have their will aligned with life. And I had to learn about generational curses from 10,000 generations back of people and their ancestors. I had to learn how to break those off of people. Because they were still in operation. And I had to break soul ties. Because when you have sexual abuse, there's a soul tie. I think I told Philip this last week. That's created between you and the abuser. And you just can't seem to break that bond. And what we used to do in spiritual care was we'd take our little fingers like scissors and cut it like an umbilical cord. And then I would say, take your umbilical cord now and attach it, because these were Christians, to the Heavenly Father. So you get all his good stuff, and you don't get the bad stuff from the other guy. And I've got about 8:24, so that gives us 6 minutes. And how about you closing us out, Miss Kim, with the music and everything?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Deborah. I'm going to put on that. Is that a little easier to hear me now on the speaker?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, thank you so much for all that you teach us when you come on. We always love to hear your wisdom, and we get to listen to you next week as well. So we'll have you back on next Thursday. So, the first two.
The first and the second?
And the fourth or fifth. No, yeah, first and second and fifth. So,
first,
at this time.
The first Thursday, the second Thursday, and the fifth?
Correct.
All you got to do is, okay, I'll put it put it on the NASCA website, and I always look to see if my name is there.
And you know, I think that's part of the issue with Bill being sick is that, you know, that website specifically is it's coded, and so it's a lot different than just going in and changing the name on it, you know, like some of them. And so that's why, you know, we wanted to redo that, and so we've been working on that.
Well, you'll get there. Yeah.
We keep coming into Roblox,
right now,
but
it's,
yes, it's hard. I can do Blog Talk, but I can't do the website, so.
Okay, that's all. So mine is the first.
Yeah.
And the second Thursday of next month, and the fifth Thursday.
And then if there's a fifth, because we had you on.
I'll see it, because what I do is I check the NASCA and the Blog Top, and, you know, for Thursday, and it'll say, and that's how I know.
Yes, so it will definitely be on Blog Talk because I can get into that and I do that right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, you're doing usually, good.
So
you're doing
I can do
really
that.
Good.
Oh, well, thank
yeah,
you.
You're steering you. It real well. I'm real pleased.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And we definitely have some people that are interested, and we have a new guest next week, a special guest next Wednesday. So it'll be exciting to hear her story, and maybe she can join us when she starts to feel more comfortable. So we can definitely pray for that, for sure. Pray for, you know, more people to come help us out at NASCA, because it's always been a community, and we want to keep that going. So,
well, like I said, I think I was telling Annie, there's a lot of competition out there. A lot of survivors out there got their own Blog Talk shows, their own radio shows, conferences, Zoom stuff, you know. So there's a lot of competition. Yeah, I got the 6th next month, the 13th. Yeah. There's 1, 2, 3. There's only 4 Thursdays. So I only have the 6th and the 13th next month.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. We appreciate
and then we'll
you.
Do the same in July, the 2nd and 3rd, so we'll be all right. So you can go.
Those days are clever. And
and you can go on
the
your
first
vacation.
Of August, I am so excited. Yes, thank you. I'm ready to go. And
Isn't
it July yet? But, so we're, thank you so much. I know I'll get your blessings out there, too, so... While I'm traveling.
All right, we got 2 minutes. Play the music and close us out.
Okay, we'll close it down. So thank you for being on. Thanks for coming on, Philip, and Pastor Deborah. Again, just thank you for all that you do for not only NASCA but also for others. And we appreciate you so much. And we love you. Thank you for being here. And as we say, you know, if you see something out there, you need to say something. We are the voices for children, and so we need to make sure that we are the ones that are standing up. If we see something, say something. And they don't have to be related, or they can be related. We need to make that decision and start standing up for the kids more. We can all make a difference. So good night, everyone. Have a good evening. Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that's gone with you. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
This is Pastor Deborah again, and I want to thank everyone who listened, who was on there, and who will listen in the future. I'm going to continue to teach about more curses that come from abuse in our childhood. Next week, I'll cover 2 more, which I had to learn about when I got into spiritual care. Mental health counseling, as I said, do not really teach this, but they are aware of the dissociative identity disorder at a high level, at a PhD level. Most master's counselors don't get this teaching and training in that wonderful defense mechanism of dissociative identity disorder. But I want to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio here on the NASCA radio show. Please continue to follow NASCA, as it has been out here many years helping people who have been abused to have a voice, to learn, be educated, and to bring healing both to each other through a peer-to-peer support group that I believe they have a Zoom meeting on, which you can find on the website, and through the Blog Talk Radio Show. They bring education, storytelling, questions, and answers. So this is Pastor Deborah, and I'll see you again very soon on another Blog Talk Radio Show live. And we'll cover 2 more curses that you can learn about that maybe are affecting your life in one way or another. All right, be blessed, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.